Lodish 8.2. Isolation and analysis of mutants. Many different types of mutants have been identified in organisms ranging from bacteria to humans. Mutants can differ from their normal counterparts in a variety of ways. Some mutations cause only subtle changes. For example, certain mutations in the fruit fly, Drosophila melanogaster, result in failure of a single type of new renal cell to develop, but mutant flies otherwise are normal. Other mutations lead to significant changes in development, cellular function, appearance, figure eight, height, and behavior of an individual. Many mutations are non-lethal, but some result in organismal death. The procedures used to identify and isolate mutants, referred to as genetic screens, depend on whether the experimental organism is haploid or diploid, and, if the latter, whether the mutation is recessive or dominant. Usually, mutations are in use by treatment with a mutagen, and the mutagenized population subjected to a genetic screen designed to identify and isolate individuals with mutations affecting a particular process of interest. Genes that encode proteins essential for life are among the most interesting and important ones to study. Since phenotypic expression of mutations in essential genes leads to death of the individual, ingenious screens are needed to isolate and maintain organisms with a lethal mutation. Characterization of mutants in a variety of experimental organisms has been used to investigate many different fundamental biological processes. Genetic analyses of mutants defective in a particular process can reveal the number of genes required for the process to occur, B the order in which gene products act in the process, and C whether the proteins encoded by different genes interact with one another. Genetic studies of this type have helped unravel various metabolic pathways, regulatory mechanisms, and developmental processes. Temperature-sensitive screens can isolate lethal mutations in haploids. In haploid organisms, e.g., prokaryotes and yeast, all mutations are in effect dominant so that the mutant phenotype is exhibited immediately in the progeny of the mutagenized population. For instance, mutations that disrupt arginine synthesis lead to cells that require arginine for growth. Such mutations are easily detected by growing mutagenized populations in the presence and absence of arginine, see figure 6.2. In prokaryotes and haploid eukaryotes such as yeast, essential genes can be studied through the use of conditional mutations. For instance, a mutant protein may be fully functional at 30°C, but completely inactive at 37°C, whereas the normal protein would be fully functional at both temperatures. A temperature at which the mutant phenotype is observed is called non-permissive. A permissive temperature is one at which the phenotype is not observed. Mutant strains can be maintained at a permissive temperature. Then, for analysis, a subculture can be set up at non-permissive temperature. Such temperature-sensitive DS mutants can also be generated in Drosophila and C. elegans, but cannot be isolated in warm-blooded animals. An example of a particularly important temperature-sensitive screen in the yeast S. cerevisiae comes from the studies of L.H. Hartwell and colleagues. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, they set out to identify genes important in regulation of the cell cycle. Cell division in this yeast occurs through a budding process, and the size of the bud, which is easily visualized by light microscopy, is an indication of the cell's position in the cell cycle. In these studies, the researchers first identified mutagenized yeast cells that did not grow at 36°C, figure 8.9a. Then they used video microscopy to analyze the identified mutants for cell division defects at the non-permissive temperature, figure 8.9b. These yeast mutants were not simply slow-growing, as they might be if they carried a mutation affecting general cellular metabolism. Rather, they grew normally, but showed a stage-specific block in growth at the non-permissive temperature. The cell cycle stage at which cell growth was arrested at the non-permissive temperature indicated when the protein encoded by the mutated gene was required. Cloning and analysis of various genes defined by cell cycle mutations are described in detail in Chapter 13. This work has provided important insights about the regulation of cell division in organisms ranging from yeast to humans. Recessive lethal mutations and diploids can be screened by use of visible markers. In diploid organisms, phenotypes resulting from recessive mutations can be observed only in individuals homozygous for the mutant alleles. Figure 8.10 outlines a procedure for inducing, identifying, and maintaining recessive lethal mutations in Drosophila, a diploid organism. Male fruit flies are treated with a mutagen, and then mated with females, yielding F1 progeny that are heterozygous for any induced mutations. Because these mutations are recessive, the mutant phenotype is not observed in the F1 generation, and two additional crosses are needed to reveal the mutant phenotype. By using fly strains carrying known mutations called markers that give rise to visible phenotypes, researchers can distinguish heterozygous F2 progeny carrying one mutagenized chromosome and one normal chromosome from siblings with other genotypes. Mating of these F2 heterozygous siblings produces an F3 generation, in which 1/4 of the flies will be homozygous for any mutation induced on the mutagenized chromosome, and if the mutation is in a gene essential for viability, they will not survive. 1/4 will be homozygous for the normal allele, and half will be heterozygous. The effects of the mutation can then be assessed in the homozygous class that does not survive, and the mutation can be maintained in the flies that are heterozygous for the mutation. Current understanding of the molecular mechanisms regulating development of multicellular organisms is based, in large part, on this type of genetic screen in Drosophila. See Nusslein, Volhard, Ewichos, and their colleagues systematically screened for recessive lethal mutations affecting embryogenesis in Drosophila using a scheme similar to that shown in Figure 8.10. Dead homozygous embryos carrying lethal recessive mutations identified by the screen were analyzed for specific defects in the cuticular structures on the embryo surface, Chapter 14. A detailed picture of embryonic development has emerged from the characterization of these defects and the analysis of both the structure of the encoded proteins and their patterns of expression during embryogenesis. We will discuss some of the fundamental discoveries based on these genetic studies in chapters 14 and 23. Complementation analysis determines if different mutations are in the same gene. A common type of genetic analysis can reveal whether different recessive mutations associated with the same phenotype are in the same gene, or in different genes. This analysis depends on the phenomenon of genetic complementation, that is, the restoration of the wild-type phenotype by mating of two different mutants. If two mutations, A and B, are in the same gene, then a diploid organism heterozygous for both mutations, i.e., carrying one allele and one B allele, will exhibit the mutant phenotype. In contrast, if mutation A and B are in separate genes, then heterozygotes carrying a single copy of each mutant allele will exhibit the wild-type normal phenotype. In this case, the mutations are said to complement each other. Complementation analysis of a set of mutants exhibiting the same phenotype can distinguish the individual genes in a set of functionally related genes, all of which must function to produce a given phenotypic trait. In the yeast Escherichia, for example, four enzymes are required for growth on galactose, figure 8.11a. If any one of these enzymes is absent or defective, yeast cells cannot grow on galactose. Because haploid yeast cells exist in one of two different mating types, A or A, which can be mated to yield a/a diploids, yeast can be subjected to complementation analysis, like other diploid organisms. Figure 8.11b illustrates complementation analysis of Gal yeast strains defective for growth on galactose. When Gal strains with mutations in different Gal genes are mated, the resulting diploid cells will grow on galactose, because the wild-type gene in each strain will compensate for the genetic defect in the other. In contrast, diploids formed from Gal strains that are mutated in the same gene will not grow on galactose. Metabolic and other pathways can be genetically dissected. Various types of analysis can order the genes involved in biochemical pathways and other cellular processes. A fairly straightforward example involves the genetic dissection of the biochemical pathway for synthesis of arginine in the bread mold Neurospora crassa. Four different mutant strains that are unable to synthesize arginine and require arginine 4 growth called arginine oxytrophs were identified years ago. Each of the steps in biosynthesis of arginine is catalyzed by an enzyme encoded by a separate gene. The order of action of the different genes, hence the order of the biochemical reactions, in the pathway, was determined by assessing which mutants could grow on different intermediates, figure 8-12. Numerous biochemical pathways have been dissected by this type of study. Other types of cellular processes also are amenable to genetic analysis. For example, the maturation pathway for secretory proteins in yeast has been dissected and ordered by analysis of a set of conditional temperature-sensitive secretion-defective sec mutants. In these mutant strains, the secretion of all proteins is blocked at the higher non-permissive temperature, but is normal at the lower permissive temperature. At the higher temperature, sec mutants accumulate proteins in the rough endoplasmic reticulum, Golgi complex, or secretory vesicles, see figure 17-14. At least 60 gene products are required to complete the maturation pathway, as defined by the number of genes in which mutations give rise to a secretion defect. The genes can be ordered in a pathway by analyzing double mutant combinations of sec genes. For instance, when A and Golgi accumulating mutants are combined, proteins accumulate in the UT. These types of studies have shown that the pathway must be ordered in the following sequence: rough A Golgi, secretory vesicles. This maturation pathway is believed to apply to all secretory proteins in all eukaryotic organisms, including plants. Suppressor mutations can identify genes encoding interacting proteins. The phenomenon of genetic suppression can be used to identify proteins that specifically interact with one another in the living cell. The underlying logic is as follows. Point mutations may lead to structural changes in protein A that disrupt its ability to associate with another protein, protein B, involved in the same cellular process. Similarly, mutations in protein B might lead to small structural changes that would inhibit its ability to interact with protein A. In rare cases, small structural changes in protein A may be suppressed by compensatory changes in protein B. In these rare cases, strains carrying a specific mutant allele of protein A or B would be mutant, but strains carrying both would be normal. This is analogous to changes made in a lock and key. Identification of such suppressor mutations has been elegantly applied in studies of the cytoskeletal protein actin in yeast, figure 8-13. A strain of yeast that was temperature sensitive for growth and carried a mutant actin allele called Act11 was plated at the non-permissive temperature. A few cells were capable of growth at this temperature. These revertants were shown to have a second mutation in another gene, called SAC6, that allowed the Act11 mutants to grow. The SAC6 mutation acted as a dominant suppressor of the Act11 mutation, so that the double mutants Act11 SAC6 exhibited the wild-type phenotype. This suppression was found to be allele-specific, that is, the SAC6 mutation suppressed the Act11 mutation, but not other Act1 mutations. Single mutants carrying any one of several different SAC6 mutations were, like Act11 mutants, temperature sensitive for growth. Remarkably, some Act1 mutations were found to be dominant suppressors of the recessive temperature sensitive lethality of various SAC6 mutations. In summary, then, mutations in either the SAC6 or Act1 gene confer the same recessive lethal phenotype, and specific lethal alleles of each gene can act as dominant suppressors of specific lethal alleles of the other gene, resulting in a viable organism. This reciprocal suppression argues strongly for a direct interaction in vivo between the proteins encoded by the two genes, see figure 8-13, bottom. Indeed, biochemical studies have shown that these two proteins Act1 and SAC6 do interact, and immunolocalization studies indicate that the two proteins are present in the same part of the cell. Summary. Treating experimental organisms with mutagens can produce mutations disrupting organismal function, development, and viability. With appropriate genetic screens, lethal mutations can be isolated and maintained in both haploid organisms, see figure 8-9, and diploid organisms, see figure 8-10. The number of functionally related genes involved in a process can be defined by complementation analysis, see figure 8-11. The order in which their encoded proteins act can be deduced from other types of genetic analysis. The identification of allele-specific suppressor mutations in two genes suggests that the encoded proteins interact in vivo.